Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Republicans and Democrats may not agree on much, but last week, just before the notorious cannabis subculture holiday known as 420, it's April 20th, Albany legislators set their gears in motion to address synthetic marijuana. Governor Cuomo banned the drug last month, which means that police can confiscate the packets of fake weed that are sometimes sold at corner stores and head shops and gas stations, and they can fine anyone caught with them. But electeds are now turning their attention to fully criminalizing the drug, which has been linked to bouts of psychosis, agitation, and even a few heart attacks in teens looking for a legal high. Joining me now to talk about synthetic marijuana is Nathan Lentz, Associate Professor of Molecular Biology at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. He has ongoing research in toxicology and controlled substances. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So for people who don't know, these packets are described as incense or even potpourri and sold under names like Spice, K2, Mr. Nice Guy, Blaze, or Eclipse. What is it exactly?
Well, they start off as an herbal mixture of aromatic compounds for people to burn as incense, ostensibly. But what they've done is essentially sprayed on usually a mix of synthetic cannabinoids that have been made, in a basement somewhere.
How does the synthetic pot compare to regular marijuana?
Well, there's two different things to consider. If you're talking about the pot, the plant, the package, the leaves, it might look and even smell a bit like regular marijuana, but it's definitely not from the cannabis plant at all. And the plants that they use don't have any natural, what are called cannabinoids, which have the effect that you associate with marijuana. And so what they do instead is they spray onto these herbs, these plants. And I can't even tell you which plants it is because they're different from package to package, year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they list some of the plants that are on there on the back at some of the packaging, and some tests that have been done have found that those plants aren't even present. So nobody knows really what mixture of herbs that are in there from day to day. But the point is, those aren't naturally occurring cannabinoids. What they've done is they've actually inserted these synthetic compounds that were, made in someone's basement or something.
And the high is basically very similar to what people would get from regular marijuana?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say some people have reported that it's similar. Others have said that it's quite different. And that's, I think, the real problem. Why people are so interested in banning these compounds is nobody really knows. This hasn't undergone a lot of testing. Different cannabinoids will affect the brain much differently. Some people might experience it, it's relatively the same as they would smoking marijuana, but other people will experience it very differently. And it's important to note that even the same package, you buy it from one week to the next, might have a different mixture of these synthetic compounds, none of which have really been tested. Nobody really knows. These aren't molecules that have been around for a long time, so scientists haven't been working on them. Nobody knows their pharmacology. Nobody knows their toxicology. Nobody knows how your liver processes them. It's kind of a scary compound or a scary concept of just, shot in the dark. Let's see if this molecule, will give us the same effect.
Listeners, our phones are open now for your questions on synthetic marijuana. Is anybody out there familiar with these packets? I don't know if anyone would cop to having tried it. You can always call anonymously here about anything. Or perhaps if there are parents who have concerns, but our phone lines are open, 212-433-WNYC. Your experiences with or questions about synthetic marijuana, 212-433-9692. Or you can post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show as we talk to Nathan Lentz, molecular biology professor at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice at CUNY, 212-433-9692. So on the health effects, the reports are that this synthetic drug or mixture of things has been tied to psychosis and agitation and that a few teens have died from heart failure. Is it much more dangerous than real marijuana, or is this the latest reefer madness, if you want to call it that, as a scare tactic?
I would say it's much more dangerous purely in the sense that we don't know how people are going to react and people will process these drugs and how they will act on the brain, because there are a lot of new, relatively new compounds. Some of the compounds that are found in the packets have been around for a while, and there's a little bit of research on them, but most of them haven't. Most of them are relatively new, and that's why it's a bit of a challenge to legislate the banning of these products, because one compound to the next might be an entirely different drug that you would have to then add to either Schedule One if you're going to go with federal level or attack at the state level. So there, the attempts from the latest attempts from, for example, Senator Schumer are to ban all synthetic marijuana. And there's some pushback on that, I think, because that's quite broad to say any synthetic marijuana. Well, what does that mean, synthetic marijuana? The cannabinoids that are really what you're talking about here are naturally occurring things even in our own brains. So to ban a molecule that's actually a natural thing, it becomes a little bit of a problem. So adding them one by one seems to be the only way that will be effective, but people can come up with these new compounds all the time. And the danger, which was your original question, was the danger, is that we just don't have any information. It's not like, I mean, the marijuana plant, for example, has been smoked by humanity for thousands of years, and there's something known about it just from the oral history and so forth. But then it's also been studied in the laboratory for 30 or 40 years extensively. So we know a lot about how the body processes it and how it acts on us. But these other compounds, it's really a crapshoot, and people are taking very, very big risks because you never know. They're really different molecules.
And it's not to say that there are no health risks from regular marijuana. There are, just to say that those are somewhat known, and these are at this point extremely unknown. Robert in Suffolk County, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Great topic. I actually happen to smoke some of this fake weed stuff called Relaxinol. And I had, like, a hallucinogenic effect. It was almost nightmarish. It was uncomfortable. I mean, I wasn't seeing visuals, but I was wondering if they use cybicillin or some kind of other hallucinogenic drugs and mix them with these products.
Do you know, Professor?
That hasn't been found that I know of. But the fact that you could get, for example, hallucinations from these drugs is not out of the question of possibility that the cannabinoids themselves are doing these things. And the reason is why, while natural cannabinoids in our brain and the molecules from cannabis seem to be very specific for cannabinoid receptors, these new molecules could be what we call more dirty, where they start to affect other kinds of neuroreceptors in the brain, other neurotransmitter receptors. And we just don't know if it can attach to the dopamine receptor, the serotonin receptor, other kinds of receptors, GABA. It very well could cause effects that you would never have experienced from marijuana. So it could be laced, as you referred to, or it could just be an off-receptor effect.
Let's take another call. Let me go to line 9. Jeff in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good. What do you got for us?
So when you talked about Andrew Cuomo banning this spice stuff, I'm really, really happy because me and my girlfriend were living in Israel for 6 months, and the spice is a lot easier to get than real weed. And we were smoking it every day, and at one point we had just smoked too much at one point, and, you know, my girlfriend started hallucinating and freaking out, and it was like she was having this crazy, crazy panic attack. And then we had, like, gone online and, like, done some research, and we kind of, like, saw what we were smoking, and it was just really, really, really scary to see, you know. It does feel a little bit like the high you get from weed, but it's really just not worth it to put into your body because of the things that can happen from it.
Jeff, thank you very much. Well, we may be having a new line of anecdotal evidence here about hallucinogenic effects, Professor.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The real danger is, as he mentioned, you really don't know what this is that you're putting in your body. I mean, literally, someone mixed this up in their basement. And just like you wouldn't, you know, go under your medicine cabinet and throw whatever it is into your body without knowing what it is and how it works, I think that's the danger here. Especially when, from my understanding, they're not necessarily any cheaper than regular weed on the street, which tends to be much higher concentration of a safer compound, meaning THC. Not that I'm advocating drug use for anyone, but it's certainly something that's a safer drug of recreation.
Tony in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I'm wondering if this substance can be detected by a drug test.
That's an excellent question. The standard drug test that they do in forensic labs and workplace drug testing will not test for it, and that was part of the reason why it was developed and marketed, ostensibly marketed, because it does not show up in standard testing. Now, there are specific tests for it, for these compounds, and of course, if they do a very extensive molecular analysis, they can obviously detect it, but that getting to that level of scrutiny is not so common. So the people who are just trying to beat their workplace drug tests, yeah, they're probably going to do that. It's not going to show up on a standard marijuana drug test.
I wonder how much that is the reason for the popularity of it, since there's so many unemployed young people and so many workplaces are testing for marijuana these days.
Yeah, I think that's at least part of the thinking, is that you're not going to get caught if you use this compound because it's legal. And, of course, there isn't right now a precedent of letting someone go from a job because they've used a product that's legal. So that's another part of the issue, I think. And also, of course, just being able to sell it on the street corner is an advantage, I think.
Let's take an anonymous call from an undisclosed location in the Garden State. Hi, you're on WNYC. We appreciate your call.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking it. I have pretty extensive experience in both of these worlds, smoking regular marijuana and this fake marijuana space, K2, spice, whatever. And the effects are dramatically different. I'm someone who would support the legalization of regular marijuana, mainly on the grounds that it's healthier than alcohol. However, this K2, this spice, I've seen what it's done to friends of mine. I've seen friends of mine get into car accidents because of the depth at which you have to test somebody for it. You really don't know if somebody is driving under the influence of this substance, and it really is dangerous. I'm comfortable driving with my friends when they're high on marijuana. I'm not comfortable driving with them when they've smoked this.
All right. Thank you very much. Not a good idea to drive when you're high in regular marijuana either. I'll just throw that out there. But here's somebody who believes that it is, has experience with perceiving that it is, and still thinks it's dangerous to drive on the synthetic marijuana, Professor.
Yeah, and I think to touch on his earlier point first, this is someone who just admitted that he supports the legalization or at least decriminalization of marijuana, and that's this issue of synthetic marijuana is joining people on both sides of that argument. This is not just a puritanical prohibitionist kind of reaction to this drug. There's a lot of people who necessarily don't have that big of a problem with people using marijuana recreationally that also want to ban this compound just for public safety and public health concerns. I think that I think it's important to separate those issues of why people want to ban this.
So real marijuana has been decriminalized in New York State since the 70s. Obviously, there are various laws depending on how much you have on you and in what circumstances. But if this passes, New York State would make fake marijuana more illegal than real marijuana. And I guess, based on the testimonials that we've heard today and what you've been telling us, it's because it's actually more dangerous. Do you think if the legalization movement takes off, that there would be a case for legal and regulated synthetic marijuana, because science could make a marijuana that gives you a better high and is somehow safer than what you might find in the natural world?
Well, I think that would be a long way off, and I don't think there'd be a lot of push for that for a couple of reasons. Like you said, the need for the research and the testing would delay any realistic legal regulation of the product, number one. But also, the effects of marijuana that people tend to go for are already fairly well present, and the research in terms of underground research on marijuana has led to the development of this plant through horticulture, purely horticulture, of having 20% THC, whereas it was 3 or 4% in the 70s. So it's been made into a much safer, healthier product that's more potent. The advocates for legalization make a point, perhaps too strongly, that no one's ever died from an overdose of marijuana, and it's not a dirty drug, and that's a good point. It is not a dirty drug. It's relatively specific. It's still on Schedule 1 federally, so any states can decriminalize all they want. It's always going to be illegal until it's addressed at the federal level. But there's a lot of research that supports these medical uses for marijuana. So, and this actually, to bring this full circle, that's where these compounds came from, largely. In the 70s and 80s, a lot of individuals were starting to recognize the positive health effects, at least for people with certain symptoms, namely chemotherapy patients, AIDS patients, that marijuana had. So the idea was, well, wait, what if we can create a synthetic one that only relieves some of these medical symptoms but doesn't give the high? Then it could be a regular pharmaceutical treatment. That hasn't gone as far as it could have because I think they act on the same receptor. So the effects that we think of as the euphoric effects are the same effects that stimulate appetite and that suppress vomiting and all of these, what we could say, good effects of marijuana. So I don't know that they can be easily separated.
And there you go, folks. New York State likely about to become the 41st state to ban synthetic marijuana. We thank Nathan Lentz, Associate Professor of Molecular Biology at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.